Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Follow us on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. Today's Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS, that's L-O as in Locked On Pistons, L-O-Pistons, gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. It's position preview week on the Locked On Network. Today, all across the network, every team podcast is going to be going over point guards. Tomorrow will be shooting guards, Wednesday small forwards, Thursday power forwards, and Friday centers. So let's get right into it with the Pistons point guards. Reggie Jackson is going to be the clear-cut starter again this year. Came off a very strong year last year. Emerged and got a little all-star consideration. He'll be back as the starter. His new primary backup will be Ish Smith, who the Pistons signed to a three-year, $18 million contract in the offseason. Lorenzo Brown and Ray McCallum have unguaranteed contracts. They're going to be battling for that third point guard spot. Probably only one of them will make the team, and probably one of them will. It seems just as unlikely that one of them gets waived as both of them get waived. And then there's Michael Beneje, who the Pistons draft in the second round, a rookie out of Syracuse, who will get minutes at point guard. And anybody who, as we go through this week, who plays multiple positions, if they play multiple positions or might play multiple positions, we're going to cover multiple days and discuss what they'll bring to each position. So to get a little more in depth on Reggie Jackson, he's an excellent pick-and-roll point guard, has developed a real nice chemistry with Andre Drummond, the ability to throw him lobs, to throw him alley-oops, that's been very valuable. Reggie Jackson's pretty relentless at getting into the lane. He's much improved as a long-range shooter. I think that's going to be sustainable. Last year, he brought his three-point percentage up to a career-high 35%, getting up near league average. I think he has a little bit more room to get better. He's a good free-throw shooter, which is indicative of being a good three-point shooter. And he's just got a pretty nice stroke. And then, of course, Andre Drummond is just going to attract so much defensive attention. That's going to open up things for Reggie Jackson. You know, when you're contesting Andre Drummond on the pick and roll, teams are going to want to play that conservatively. They're going to want to go under and shut down Andre Drummond. And that's where it's really going to be on Reggie Jackson to make those open three-pointers off the bounce. And I think he's shown good progress with that. He's improved a great deal throughout his career as a ball handler, as a distributor. And Kevin Pelton has done some excellent research into what positions develop well late, and it tends to be point guards. They're the late developers. Reggie Jackson, he's only 26. I still think there's room for him to grow in his game. The Pistons ask a lot of him. They don't have much playmaking at other positions, especially in the starting lineup. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a minus playmaker for a shooting guard. Tobias Harris, whose passing ability I like and think maybe he can break through with that a little bit. Still not much of a dribbler to set up teammates. Not much of a passer yet. Just very limited for a small forward there. Marcus Morris came through as a passer a little bit more than expected, but he's not this real playmaking four. Andre Drummond is not much of a passer, even for a center. So the Pistons are just going to ask a ton of Reggie Jackson at point guard, but they're not going to play him a ton of minutes. He only played 31 minutes last year, and as you'll see in the podcast coming out soon, the Locked On Fantasy preview, it was pointed out to me that this is what Stan Van Gundy tends to do, and it goes predates Reggie Jackson, where he just doesn't like to play his starting point guard a ton of minutes. And I don't know if Reggie Jackson's going to be the one to change that, because there have been times, and it's tough to tell from the outside when a guy is just tired or when it's something else, but there have been times when Reggie Jackson looks tired, when it appears that's what the issue is. And I think that extends over to defense in a real troubling way, where he's not as good of a defender as he could be. He's got decent size and length, pretty good length, actually, where he could be more of a disruptive defender. And he just isn't. And I'm not sure if it's an awareness thing. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But I think conditioning and energy have something to do with it, where the Pistons ask so much of him offensively. He needs to rein it in a little bit on the defensive end. And if the Pistons can get a decent amount from Ish Smith, where they can have Reggie Jackson playing harder defense, that would really be a boost. That's where Ish Smith could really make a difference for Reggie Jackson. In the same note, the way the Pistons rely so much on Reggie Jackson, it's not just to run all these pick and rolls, though that's a big part of it. It's also when their offense breaks down. Usually they're going to give the ball to Reggie Jackson, ask him to isolate, ask him to create something. At the Pistons' best, they're moving the ball side to side. They're running a pick and roll between Jackson and Andre Drummond and kicking the ball out. Like, there are a little more design things going on, but of course, over a game, over a season, you can't always have that with the 24-second clock. So when they need something to happen, they've put the ball in Reggie Jackson's hands. And he's done a pretty good job. He's taken a bigger role throughout his career while keeping his turnover rate low. And we'll get a little bit more into why a low turnover rate is especially important on this Pistons team. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's the 50-yard line, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest price available. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy in SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in locked on Pistons. L-O Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in locked on Pistons. L-O Pistons today. So why turnovers are particularly important for a Pistons point guard? It's because the Pistons are such a good offensive rebounding team with Andre Drummond, with Aaron Baynes helping on the glass. Boban Marjanovic is going to be helping on the glass. They're just an excellent offensive rebounding team. And the only way to get an offensive rebound is to get a shot up. So when you have that ability to get those second chance points, it's especially paramount that you don't turn the ball over. And Reggie Jackson's done a very nice job with that. The Pistons tend to be conservative offensively a little bit. That's their MO. That's okay, because when you're such a good offensive rebounding team, those turnovers are killer. You just got to get the shot up and go from there. And so that gets into Ish Smith. Ish Smith has improved throughout his career, getting his turnover rate down to a very nice level now. Can he keep that up? I sort of think so. I think if you can not turn the ball over too much in Philadelphia's up-tempo system with a bunch of players who are either not going to be NBA caliber or definitely not NBA caliber, at least to be on even an okay team yet, where they're in over their head, where they're too young, to be in that environment and get your turnover rate down still, real big plus. So I think that's a nice sign that Ish Smith is rounding out, and he's going to get opportunities. Like we said just now, Reggie Jackson probably not going to play a ton of minutes. That's what Stan Van Gundy has tended to do with his point guards. So there's an opening for Ish Smith, who's incredibly fast and makes great use of it. He's become a good enough scorer because his speed opens things for him. He's become a good enough passer because his passing opens passing lanes for him. There are some reasons for concern. There are reasons he's a backup. He is 28. He's not very big. He's 6 foot. You do worry about somebody who's so reliant on speed as they get even into their late 20s. That can fall off in a hurry. I don't think it's going to for him this quick, but it could, and that's a real concern, especially over the life of his 3-year contract. Because of his size, that limits him defensively. He's not a very good outside shooter, but he is not Steve Blake. And that's the most important thing. Steve Blake was a little too old. He was a lot too old. Just in over his head last year. The Pistons had to rely on him after trading Brandon Jennings in a very good deal that netted Tobias Harris. But it left this big hole at backup point guard. Ish Smith will fill that. He'll fill it capably, it seems. Even if he's a below-average backup point guard, it's going to be a big upgrade over what the Pistons had last year, and that's going to be important. They were really bad with Steve Blake on the court. And so just even a competent backup, like the bare minimum of a competent backup, and I think Ish Smith's a little better than that. But even if he's not, and it's not 100% that he is, that's going to be a big upgrade. The third point guard spot's a little interesting. The battle between Lorenzo Brown and Ray McCallum. Lorenzo Brown is probably the safer choice. He's the guy who can contribute even with Reggie Jackson and Ish Smith in the lineup because he's 6'5", taller for a point guard, a better defender, can use that size to his advantage. And there might just be matchups where you don't want Reggie Jackson to have to deal with guarding somebody, and Ish Smith can't guard him. And you can bring Lorenzo Brown in for a few spot minutes. He's going to be a little bit steadier on the offensive end, not much of a shooter either. Not sure he can score on the inside in the NBA level, though he can definitely do it in the D League. He's kind of probably one of those, like, to compare it to baseball, one of those quadruple A players. But his defensive ability would give him a use in certain matchups at certain times. He's been in the Pistons D-League affiliate, so he knows the system. I don't think he's going to make a ton of mistakes offensively. Where Ray McCallum is a couple years younger, he's stronger, hasn't put that to great use defensively because he's not as tall, but uses that strength to get to the basket, to attack off the dribble, and I think would be better running the offense if you need somebody to run the offense for a stretch. Maybe if Reggie Jackson is hurt, if Lorenzo Brown is there, you're going to lower your ceiling. But if Reggie Jackson's hurt or Ish Smith is hurt, with Ray McCallum, I feel like he's a better, bigger minutes backup. So it's going to come down to what Stan Van Gundy prioritizes and how these guys compete in training camp, which one of the two earns the spot. And the final option at point guard is Michael Binaje, a second-round pick out of Syracuse, who can play the 1, 2, or 3. The Pistons wanted to experiment with him a little more at point guard in summer league, but he got hurt. But he played the position at Syracuse. He sees the floor well. He's 6'7", so he can see over some people. He'd be okay at point guard for a second-round pick. There's a reason teams don't often rely on second-round rookies. But Binaje is sort of an interesting case because he's already pretty old. He's already 24 years old. He played all of last year at 23. And that's why he slipped so far in the draft. And I think fairly. There's sort of this counter perception to players getting picked late that who are seniors who play 4 years, who are older, that they're undervalued. I'm not so sure about that. He was good in college. I'm not sure he was good enough to justify being that much older than anybody. When you're 23, you should be pretty darn good in college, and he was pretty good. Not great enough where you say, yep, this definitely translates, but he has some nice skills. He does see the floor well, and maybe that's sort of his niche in the NBA. Like, that's what he could do. He'd be a tall point guard. he'll at least have a chance to experiment there a little bit. Gives the Pistons another option, a versatile player. Obviously, with his size, no matter who he's playing, he'll have an ability to switch, which would fit well with the Pistons. And we're definitely going to be covering him in the other position sections as we go along this week. Again, it's position preview week on the Locked On Network. Today, we just took a look at the Pistons point guards. Tomorrow on Tuesday, we'll do shooting guards. Wednesday will be small forwards. Thursday will be power forwards. And Friday will be centers. So check all those out. You can follow us on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening.